Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get more into that with Dexter Lawrence and Carl Banks and the back and forth. I'm just glad that Carl's in a beef that has nothing to do with either of us, BT, as Dexter Lawrence then returns some shots at Carl Banks. And here's the bottom line. We obviously would respect Carl's opinion on it, and maybe we'll just do it here. What the hell? But Dexter's got to play better. Simple as that. I think he understands that, and maybe he understands it now, so maybe Carl did the Giants a favor by lighting a fire under his rear end.
We'll see. He pushed back a little bit, didn't like what Carl said. Well, now go show us.
Yeah, right. I
thought the wording by Carl was very interesting. Like, you start throwing around respect, and
they don't respect you.
That was
a hit piece, dude.
It was
a pro, like a wrestling promo.
Yeah, he held it in for 2 years. He had to get back at somebody.
Who was he really talking to?
You and me, probably. Even though I'm cool with him,
well, you are as well.
We clear it up.
It was clear he didn't respect us. By the way, he was talking to us on the show, which is why we had to move on.
I respect that he didn't back down from it.
Yeah,
he didn't say like when he was asked, talking about Carl.
Yeah,
when he was asked about, it, he's like, you know, listen, I said what I said, and I love Dexter. I like Dexter. I love Dexter. Whatever. But I stand by what I said, and a lot of times people say something, and because they feel some heat, they retract it. No, if that's what Carl believes, I actually have respect for him remaining married to that conviction, because I think he's a whole lot more right than wrong.
My question would be, and maybe this is just semantics with the words, but if they were really disrespecting Dexter Lawrence, would they be double-teaming him?
No.
So, but they still do double team him. Now, I'm not breaking down the film myself, but you know, I told you Bobby Skinner, I see him talk about it.
Baldy.
He's still getting doubled.
Yeah, well, Baldy's breaking down the film, and we had Baldy on Tuesday. Every Tuesday at BT and Sal. It's all over. You guys want to go find. He's great. So I would imagine that that's like the first thing he's looking at. You're right. Like, we look at it on a more of a cursory surface level. Certainly the interior play.
Yeah.
I'm not an offensive line coach, but I played 2 years of football, and I played left tackle, and I hate it. I'm the skinniest kid on the team. Why am I playing left tackle? Because a million years ago, they didn't throw the ball.
For the record,
if they threw the ball, I wouldn't have been there. I would have played quarterback, maybe.
I know. Okay. I know
I would have been.
I know that there are some fans who get into it. For the record, I think the majority of fans don't care. Like, I'm not an X's and O's guy. I don't care to be. I'm not a football player. I'm not a football coach. I am a football fan. I watch football. I want to be entertained. I don't find it entertaining on a play when I'm watching it on TV to watch the trenches and see who's doubling who. I want to see where the ball's going. I want to see who's making the tackles, who's making the catches. I think that's the majority of sports fans or football's fans. So we could have Baldy on. He could enlighten us. You could watch Carl Banks, listen to him. He could enlighten you in a different way. Those things are good to me in certain situations. But as a fan, I don't care who's double teaming. I care about the results of the play. And I want to see dominance, though, from Dexter Lawrence, regardless of the double teams or what. I want to see him wreaking havoc in the opposition's backfield, and we just haven't seen that nearly enough.
No, he's had a very bad season, and he just is really not doing anything of significance here. You know, it's funny because again, within the boundaries of being honest, I mean, I'm not a tape head, I'm not a film head, But I've gotten a lot more into it than I ever was, right? And really, even my son's team, like, they send us the film after games, and the coaches send, and every team in the league has to do it. Like, if you play Team X versus Y, and then you're playing Team Y the next week, they have to send the film to our coach, so then you can kind of get a sense of what the other team has. And I do find that interesting, because I've learned some stuff. Where I do like film, all right, like, and I remember with the quarterbacks, like early with Zach and even Darnold when he was really a mess, even though Zach was much worse. Like, I'm saying there, are guys open? Are you not seeing things? Because I'm like, I have at least learned to distinguish, like, if a guy's open and the quarterback can't get it to him because he's just not seeing what's in front of him, or the O-line's caving and he's got to chuck it off his back foot. So I do appreciate it, but I don't pretend to know anything more than I do when it comes to that stuff. These gentlemen do. Baldy might be the best in the world at this, and he thinks that Dexter Lawrence has been terrible.
Do you like bologna?
I used to love bologna.
Okay, me too.
A little mustard, a little, yeah, sure.
You know what's in bologna?
Was it like the ass of a pig or something like that? The scraps?
You don't really want to know how it's made, right?
Same with hot dogs. Yeah, I don't. I don't need it anymore, so you can tell me.
I like hot dogs. No. I don't want to know. I want to eat a hot dog. I want to eat the bologna. I don't care how it's made. I don't want to know what's in it. That's, to me, the way that I would view film. I'm not saying you can't get educated in certain regards. I think for what we do, it's pointless. Like, we're not breaking down film. I don't find that entertaining. It could be educational. Sure, it's not entertaining. It's not what sports fans... I've never once in my life ever, in 46 years living on this earth, when talking about sports, went to one of my buddies and be like, "Oh, dude, did you see that pancake from, you know, the offensive lineman? Oh, my God, Sean O'Hara." Now, I'm not saying you can't appreciate a good offensive line or a good defensive line. I'm just saying that the film breaking down, to me, I leave that to other people like Carl Banks or like Baldy.
And they're all saying the same thing, what we were saying here. And so, when we were growing up, we didn't have access to that.
Correct.
And like Summerall and Madden, or early days with Jim Nantzen, if they didn't give us a good replay, we're lost in the weeds. Yeah. We're just going, like, I'm looking at Canizero's report card after a Jet game, or... was it Schwartz? Whomever was doing the Giants back then, I forget. But you look at the letter grades, the coaching, the offense, the defense, the special teams, whatever. So, yeah, there's more access. Some people really appreciate it. I do, but I'm not nuts with it. And by the way, when was the last time you actually had bologna? How long ago?
Not too long ago.
Oh, so you still have it?
Yeah, within the last month I've had it. Maybe 2 months.
You buy it from, like, Costco or the stores?
No, like ShopRite. Sometimes we go to ShopRite. Yeah, yeah. We'll go in there, and I'm like, you know what? I'm in the mood for a cold cut sandwich this weekend.
Yeah, me too. Just bologna and cheese with a little mustard?
Now, it's not often. No, I would go mayo, if anything. It's not often, but a couple of months ago. We might have talked about it once, and I was like, you know what? I had, like, a thing for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's me with Spam.
Oh, Spam? Out of the can?
Yeah, not anymore. But when I was growing up, I felt like it was filet mignon. Sure.
I've never had Spam.
What?
No, never.
Before
had
a CYO game with my mom would make scrambled eggs and a little Spam and a bagel and milk? No. Oh, absolutely.
We would go, my mom would go fried bologna, as a matter of fact. Fried bologna and fried ham.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
man,
she would fry the Spam. I wouldn't eat it out of the can.
What is Spam? I don't even know what that is.
Probably the same nonsense and garbage and poison that hot dogs and bologna is.
But why Spam and not ham?
Like,
what's the S for? Do you have any idea what Spam is, Rami?
You're looking at two guys who have no idea back here.
Yeah, because,
it's not kosher.
It's not kosher. Oh, well, you too. That's right, Rom.
Okay.
Hey, you guys are missing out. Maybe you got to convert.
I don't know about that. There are other things I would rather eat besides bologna and
true.
Spam. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get in some calls here. How do you say this? ATEF?
Where are we at?
ATEF is calling from Saddlebrook. What's up, ATEF?
How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
How are you, buddy?
I have a crazy trade potential between the Yankees and the Mets. But
oh, yes. Can't wait to hear that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, before I get that, real quick about the discussion you had about Mattingly and David Wright. You know, I have been a Mets fan since 85. You know who was standing on the top of the steps of the dugout of the Boston Red Sox when they were about to win the World Series in Game 6 when Mookie Wilson hit that triple hit first base?
Who was it?
Tom Seaver.
That's right. Tom was on that team. That's right.
Okay.
There you go. So we cursed him.
So, yeah.
What's the point?
You guys were talking about how Mattingly is...
Yeah.
Right. What's the point about Seaver, though?
But would you have been happy if the Red Sox won because I guess you love Tom Seaver? I guess that's what you're getting at, right?
No. I'm a Mets fan. No, I honestly, I love Tom Seaver. Always will.
Right,
I'm
still confused about the point.
I hated him at that moment.
Okay,
gotcha.
He was ready to run out on the field and stick the dagger into the Mets' heart.
The Mets got rid of him. Either way, they deserve it.
No, I understand.
Okay, gotcha.
What's your other point?
What's the trade here?
The trade. Okay, this sounds crazy. Okay, but just think about it for a minute.
Yeah.
So the Yankees need a leadoff hitter. You said that, BT,
yes,
right?
Yes, 100%.
And they also and they can deny it all they want. They do have a problem at shortstop.
Yes.
So if just think about this, Lindor for Stanton and a top minor league pitcher from the Yankees, and the Yankees carry Stanton's full burden. Okay. So Jet moves from the minor league into shortstop, and the Yankees get what they want. The Mets will have free some money to sign.
Yeah, but Atef, hold on one sec, buddy. You're assuming that's a big, broad assumption, and thank you for the call.
Old school radio call.
Once in a while it works a little bit here. It took a while to get to the point, but eventually got there. You're assuming that Yankee fans want Lindor, and I would think that there's some that would. Now, the Stanton thing, and I went over the numbers the other day, obviously the Miami Marlins are paying $10 million off this, that offset that. So it's really like it's a weapon that the Yankees could use. Not that I don't think Lindor is good, but I do. Although he did take a big step backwards defensively, whatever. I don't need Lindor at 34, 34, 34, 34, 34, 34 through the year 2031 a pass.
See,
especially if I'm giving you a prospect.
I think that would be a mistake from the Yankee standpoint. I would never do that from the Mets standpoint. I'm all for trading Lindor. And by the way, that exact iteration of it, like for the Yankees to do it, it would have to be you take Stanton, take that salary.
Yeah.
We'll take back Lindor and take his salary. You can't really have prospects exchanging hands. Like I'm also not saying you'd be ridiculous from the Yankees to turn it down, saying you have to send a prospect the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Just pound for pound, money for money, Giancarlo Stanton is a worse fit than Lindor would be.
No question.
Okay, so if you could find a way that the Mets would pay some of that salary down and they take Stanton off, Lindor would benefit. He would be great on the Yankees. A perfect fit for them. They do need a shortstop. Even with him declining defensively, still better than what they've had. He could be a leadoff hitter. That ballpark, he's going to rake. He's going to put up numbers. That would make them better to me.
It would make them better in 2026 and probably 2027. And then we're right back, even though he's better than DJ. I'm not trying to shade him here. But now you get into the 2028s, and where is he range-wise? Maybe you put him at second. It's never going to happen. Number one, the Yankees are going to eventually give Lombard a real shot. Whether he's the real deal, we'll find out. They're not finished with Volpe yet. Some of you think that they should be. They're not. So if Lindor was a little younger, again, like next year, absolutely would make the Yankees better.
Right.
There's no question. He would address all these
probably the next couple years. Yeah.
Next couple. Yeah, I'll even give him two, maybe a third.
Well,
but the baggage
what,
on the
years?
Back. Yeah, he's got six. I can't have a player for 6 years. Yeah. But then we get back to the same old stuff. We got Hicks. You know, and again, Hicks is obviously widely inferior to Lindor. I'm not trying to shade Lindor, but let's think about Lindor not now. Let's think about Lindor in a couple of years when he is a shell of what he now.
Well, it's why I want to trade him from a Mets perspective.
I understand.
Now.
Well, then why would I want to take? If you want to get rid of him, why would I want to take him?
Because you can win a World Series with him right now. He fits them better. Now, again, I would not. As much as I want to trade him, there's no chance in hell from a Mets perspective I would ever trade Francisco Lindor. A, to the Yankees. B, for Giancarlo Stanton. Like,
that's not going to work for you guys. It shouldn't.
Oh, my God. Like,
although you do get your DH that you were screaming about yesterday that you want.
I wouldn't want him. No, I think he's got value elsewhere.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want Giancarlo Stanton. I've seen him do it with the Yankees. Now, I think, let's say in a world where Pete Alonso left the Mets and they try to upgrade their defense, and you're going to say, well, how are you going to replace that power? That is a way. You take on Giancarlo Stanton's contract, and you have him be the DH. And it's not going to be the commitment that the Yankees have committed to him for years. And also, the Mets don't have five DHs like the Yankees have. They don't have any. So they could use an actual DH. So I do think that there is a fit for each team with each player. However, a trade for each other
between those teams doesn't work.
Yeah, it does not make
sense. Well, I mean, it's funny because you look at the Mets infield right now. Who knows if Pete's back? McNeil's not. I mean, if he's back, what are we doing? You know, Lindor is still good, but he's starting to show some signs of regression, which is, it's no shame in that. You know, he's in his early 30s. He's played a lot of baseball in the middle of the diamond. It's natural to lose just a little bounce, and he has. The defensive metrics say that. Not that he can't bounce back. I'm not saying he's finished, but he's not quite the defender when he first got here. I like Beatty, but I don't know if the Mets are married to Beatty at third base.
Should they be? They could be better.
Like, I'm with you.
He's a nice player.
Yeah.
He's got potential, but like...
I like him a lot more. Yeah. I do like him more than Vientos, and I loved Vientos going into last year, but I do think that Beatty, I think his stick is going to play. I think he's going to hit, and then you get to the catching spot, and Francisco Alvarez, it's like, I mean, out of all the infield positions, there's really no locks that a guy is absolutely back or absolutely definitively in the middle of their prime or still elevating. That's the Mets have a lot of work this. We know that, and there's different days and deeper discussions. They got a lot to do.
Right, but the good thing is, even though there's a lot to do, they have resources in both finances and the farm system now. So they're at least in a spot where it's not like, oh, crap, they can't spend any money,
yeah,
or oh, crap, they don't have a farm system to work with.
I agree.
There's a ton to do, but they also have a lot that they can maneuver here. So there shouldn't be any excuses. For me, it's not like, oh, wow, they have a lot to do. Maybe next year's not the year. No, figure it out, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I would love the idea. Okay, here's the challenge. Roll up your sleeves and let's go build a ball club.
Yeah.
Whether it's trading Lindor, whether it's trading Nimmo, whether it's bringing everybody back and adding to it, whether it's trading Vientos or Beatty or some of the minor league system, bringing in the right. Like, there are a million different ways to do this thing. Go do it. I'm tired of hearing the excuses, and I'm tired of falling short year after year after year after year for 40 years.
I don't mean to step on it. Yeah, I don't blame you, dude. I don't blame you at all. So, real fast, I like to do this. Now, but you can't think, because I want first answer.
Yeah.
And it's simple, yes or no. I'm going to hit you with five quick items,
yeah,
and no processing, yes or no. Is Pete back with the Mets, yes or no?
Well, would I want him back, or will he be back?
Will he be back? So, you're answering from their perspective. Will Pete be back?
Yes.
Will McNeil be back?
No.
Will Lindor be back?
Yes.
Will Nimmo be back?
Yes.
Will Scooble be here?
Yes.
Will Alvarez be the starter?
Yes.
That's a little bit too many yeses for me, man.
I get it. I don't know.
Now, would your answers be very different from what you think that they're, because you answered it from their perspective.
Yeah, I would not.
Now you're answering.
Yeah.
Would you bring Pete back?
Only if he agrees to be part-time DH.
DH, okay.
Yeah.
I know your answer on McNeil. He's gone.
I think that the DH part of things is even more important than the money.
Clearing that up and having a real stick that can provide some presence. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's been a problem for you
guys.
Think
about it. He could play a little first.
Yeah.
So you got some versatility there. You want to get somebody else in DH. Somebody's hurt or hobbled. All right, Pete, you could play first base for a couple games. Even the first year, I'll be like, you could play 80-something games at first. You're our primary DH, though. DH, first baseman, that is what you do. I think that makes the Mets better because you keep his bat, which is the best asset,
mm-hmm,
and he's a DH, and you upgrade defensively. So even if it were $180 million 6 years, like, I'm not willing to do that, but I would rather concede that than concede him being the everyday first baseman. I don't want to see it anymore.
You were saying that during the summer, so that's consistent. And by the way, you know, I think the market's going to be a lot more kind to him this offseason. You know, he bounced back in a big way, so he's not going to have to get a one and an opt-out. All right, would you bring Nimmo back? You?
I would not.
Would you trade McClain for Scooble?
I would not.
Would you have Beatty committed as the opening day third baseman?
No
Bregman's
chance.
Out there.
No chance.
You know?
I would not have anybody committed to anything, especially Beatty, who's... No, I think he's a useful piece, but what if the Tigers said, well, we need Beatty. See ya.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's a given.
We'll go figure out a third base somewhere else.
You Who's your starting center fielder day one?
Well, I think that's a big thing that they have to figure out. I don't like Duran from the Red Sox. I know he's been brought up.
He was a lot more appealing a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He's a little sloppy.
I know
there's
some thought about maybe trading for Luis Robert. Again, point is there aren't any great options. Really, what you should do, and this is maybe a big point, BT. I don't know if we can get into it today, but definitely it's going to be a theme over the course of the next couple of weeks, if not just flat out months. Similar to where we were with Soto, meaning that there were two perspectives. My perspective was the Yankees cannot let him go.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was they gotta, now I thought he was gonna leave, but from a Yankees perspective, gotta bring him back and then build on top of it. And from a Mets perspective, it was have to have him. The difference is I believe Soto was gonna leave. With Bellinger, I don't believe he's going to leave.
Yeah, me neither.
But if he does, the Mets have to get him,
mm-hmm,
because there are no other good center field options. So a big part of me is like, dismissing Bellinger. And I'm also, I don't like the idea of paying that much money to a guy who I don't trust offensively. But at least I know the floor with him is he's an excellent center fielder.
With versatility.
Could play the corner spots.
Gamer.
Could play first base if you need it. Gamer.
And good wheels.
I do think his floor has gone up a little bit. He performed well in New York.
I agree.
So now I don't love the fact that he's lefty with Soto, whatever. But I think the Yankees have to keep him, and I believe that they will keep him. However, I also believe that you talk about center field. Find me the better option to play center field for the Mets than Cody Bellinger.
There isn't one. I got one more question for you. Whatever the top offer is from whomever, are the Mets right there or slightly more for a competitive offer for Tucker? At the end of the hot stove, do the Mets dip their toe in the pool, or are they all in and try to get him?
I don't believe the Mets are going to go the avenue of Tucker. The only way that I think that that's possible is if they do trade Lindor and or Nimmo. Otherwise, they got to invest. Like, Scooble's my guy. You got to get Skubal.
Yep.
And trading a lot for him now also means that you're going to have to give a lot of money up next year. So I can't invest whatever.
$450 million for him.
Nor do I
He's not worth $450, by the way.
Right, nor do I think they need him. Now, the Yankees, that's another argument. Like, maybe the Yankees make an argument you do need him. By the way, one option for the Mets could be Grisham, too, but you're talking about a much lower level.
Like, I forgot about Grisham.
Yeah,
that's true.
Until just now.
That's true.
I mean, but again, do I love Grisham?
Good luck getting a $190 against lefties if you're lucky.
Put it this way. I'd rather pay Grisham whatever it is that he's going to command, which I don't think would be a lot.
What, maybe 2 years with an option? What, 10,
whatever.
12, 15 a year, something
like
that?
I'm not 100% sure. I know he's coming off a big year, but I wouldn't pay him for that year. That's why probably he'll get somewhere else more than the Mets would be willing to pay. But I'd rather pay him than trade for Duran or Luis Robert. The other issue is they have Carson Bench, who they like as a potential center fielder, but you might have to move on from him in a Skubal trade.
In a pitching
also,
trade.
Also, there's an unknown. So I'd like to go into the year with at least a big league center fielder, which is why I think Bellinger's the best option and Grisham probably the second best option.
A little hot stove. Feels good, right?
BT, I love it. I mean, we can talk that all day long, and we're going to have to talk it all day long with the Jets and Giants the way that they are.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win, and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember I was telling you about seeing all these deer on the road?
Oh, yeah, I see them all the time. It's ridiculous.
280 especially. So, dude, I had it today, the closest call that I've ever had.
All right.
Driving in the Cadillac, the Optic, and luckily, like, I'm going slow here. It's raining, whatever, and these are the side roads to kind of get out of the neighborhood to go toward 280, and boom, deer comes. Now, I would say maybe about, I don't know, 600 feet in front of me. It wasn't, like, right in front of my car, but I could see one running down a hill from a house across the street, and I was like, whoa, I've never seen a deer running before in front of my car. There were no other cars in front of me. It was just me. The car's on the other side of the road coming, and then the deer runs down. And now, because I've become kind of an expert on this, of driving around and seeing the families, you know what I'm thinking? There's more. It's not just one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking there's got to be another one nearby here.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I slow down.
Uh-huh.
I'm driving, but as I'm driving, the second one is on the hill and basically, like, eye to eye with me. He was at the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
And I, so obviously I didn't hit him, but then I start thinking, like, is this guy going to run into me? But he stopped and stared, gave a little look, and then I kept it moving. And I
hope he stared you down.
I mean, I got a little bit of a stare. Yes, but
make sure you're not messing with his family,
dude. I don't want any part of these guys.
I don't either.
I mean, do they run into cars? Do they just?
They don't think. They don't process. Their brain is so small that they don't calculate the danger. They just don't. They just run.
So then I ask you, how did this one? Why did he stop, knowing that my car was there? Like I said, I was going slow.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for other deer to come. There wasn't any, and it was only like a difference of a matter of seconds between the one deer that went by the time I got to where he was, and then I see the other one now on my passenger, like, and then he clearly stopped as opposed to, if he kept going, I would have been screwed. So would the caddy. The caddy, like, we would have had a problem here.
Nah, I would have still had mine. You would have had a problem, not me. Well, it's funny. I think that they feel fear. So, like, as low, if you're creeping up and they're kind of on, like, maybe a little grassy knoll, and they see you, much like if they see a human, right, walking, like maybe a mom or a dad pushing a carriage, like, they'll kind of crawl up and just kind of get a sense of what's going on, then maybe run and do their thing.
Are they friendly?
They don't attack you, unless they're rabid, like, unless they have a disease. No, they don't bother anybody. The, I think the real, in terms of the lack of calculation, occurs when they just dart out, like, because, and they don't, meaning they don't see your car.
And
they, you know, if they have, they do have, like, trepidation. Here I am trying to psychologically analyze deer. I could be 100% wrong. Like, the trepidation comes when they see a car creeping up.
Yeah.
Then they have the alertness and the instinct to say, all right, let me go and do my own thing.
Right.
But most of these accidents occur when they just run out. And I don't know if I said this on the air. I think I was explaining this to my kids in the car. I don't know. But I saw recently, and if I said it on the air, I'll just buzz by. I won't take long. So I saw a website the other day, the 15 most dangerous animals in the world. Okay. Did I tell you this? I don't think I said it on the air.
No.
And obviously, like, polar bears are up there and several other type of bears and the great white and the bull shark. The bull shark is a very aggressive kind. Tiger shark, those are the three most aggressive sharks. You know, venomous snakes, venomous spiders, and some other ones across the list of 15. No, number 15 was?
No.
White-tailed deer. That's white-tailed deer because of their inability to decipher and really process,
so how,
should I run or should I absolutely wait for this car to go before I cross the street?
So they're more,
and there's so many of them, they're responsible for whatever the number was. I don't recall
so
what
they're
it was.
Not dangerous
accidents.
Because, like, if they see you, they're going to attack.
Not
they're dangerous
at all.
Because they're so dumb. They
no,
can just,
no. And I
how see, do I know if it's a white tail? Like,
it's got a white tail. It's a little white.
But don't all deers look the same? Although these look gray, more so, like, I don't know if it's because raining and they're
wet. No,
skin,
I don't.
Skin, what do you call it? Their fur was wet.
Maybe they were sick. I don't think I've ever seen gray deer. Well, then maybe it was, I don't know. I think that the deer, and I do this a lot where, I don't know, say if I'm walking through the car or whatever and I see them, hey, how you doing, guy?
Right.
Like, I want to let them know I'm friendly.
Yeah.
Especially if they're with the family and the little baby, the nose.
They might have Lyme disease, though. You got
to
be careful.
Well, I don't touch them. Okay. I mean, they do certainly have a Lyme disease, a big problem in the suburbs. You didn't have any deer in Long Island?
No, we used to have to go. Yes, there were deer on Long Island. We would have to go to a certain spot, like around Christmas time. We'd go look at Christmas lights, and then my father would take us to a spot in maybe a town or two over that, by the woods, that maybe you'd see some deer, and they'd be like, oh, Santa's reindeer, you know,
For sure, sure.
Like that.
Get ready.
But not to this level. And by the way, you mentioned polar bears. It made me think of this. The AI is out of control, and, like, my wife just doesn't understand. Like, anything that I see now could actually be a real cut.
Yeah, for sure.
It could be a real cut, like Carl Banks ripping Dexter Lawrence. I'm like, AI, Banks wouldn't say that. That's AI. No way. AI. My wife sees some woman being hugged by a polar bear and trying to be saved by people.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, my God, look at this. I'm like, it's not real. She goes, how do you know it's not real? Because a polar bear would be mauling that woman.
They would.
A polar bear
certainly would. Now, there's, like, a brown bear, I mean, it's all relative, is fairly benign. Of course, you know, your partner was the Man versus Bear expert.
Yes, so I remember.
I know a little bit about this, the show that bombed on Discovery. But I learned a little bit. And
you still got paid for it.
I did. And we would have had a second season if COVID didn't hit. Mm. Just my luck, of course. I would have made some real money. But it never happened thanks to COVID. So the most, like, some of these, like a brown bear, like, they're not looking to attack you. They're not. They're not looking to rip your head off or claw you to death. It's when the mama bear thinks the baby bear's in trouble or they're startled. But generally, that's why they tell you, if you run into a bear, and a few of my buddies did coming back from a fishing, from their fishing, walking back from a lake, you got to rise up. You got to be big. You got to be loud. You got to scream. And you got to hope that you scare the bear. But they're not really inherently aggressive. Some bears, but the polar bear is.
I will admit, I'm not afraid to say this on the air for everybody to hear it. I don't have the balls to stand up to a bear and get big. I'm in big trouble if I see a bear.
Yeah.
I will wilt, dude. I think about it quite a bit. When I take out my garbage, I'm always looking for my surroundings after seeing the raccoons, the snakes, all that stuff. If I see a bear, I know what you're saying is the right thing, and my mind can process that and say, I understand why I don't have the balls to do it.
Well, it goes down to the old fight or flight, you know, thought that you learned as a kid there in school. So I got to tell you, by the way, the most dangerous type of polar bear is the one playing first base in Queens, trying to shovel pass to somebody covering first base on a ground ball to the right side.
That's a good point.
You got to watch out for that.
Hey, you know what? His arm almost killed Kodai Senga. I mean, come on. Tom is in Long Branch. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good. What's up?
So the reason deer are bolting out this time of year is because they're in what's called the rut. Mating season, so the bucks come out, the ones with the antlers, and chase the does because they're looking to mate, and they push the does, and the does dart out no matter where they are, and they'll cross the road.
Excellent point. October, these were does for sure. Mm-hmm. No antlers.
So October through November, you got to be vigilant because they'll dart out no matter what time. I live in an area. I'm a deer hunter. Mm. There's thousands of deer. They hardly ever dart out.
You hunt from a backyard, or is that that's not legal?
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends. Depends how far you are from the house.
Oh, so you do hunt like right around your backyard then?
I hunt on people's property, suburban street, but you have to be a certain amount of feet from the house. But I don't hunt with a bow and arrow. I don't hunt with
a bow. Wow.
What do you do? Arrow. What do you do when you get it? Do you eat it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, go to the butcher. Like they cost me over $100 to get them butchered, and I eat them. I probably shoot 3 or 4 a year, and I eat a lot. It's great meat. It's better than beef.
Mm. Hey, I respect the sport of it, I guess. And thank you for the call, Tom, and for the insight there. A, I'm not sure if that's 100% legal.
With a bow and arrow, 100%. You got to get them in the heart, or you got to get well within certain distance. There's parameters, but yeah. Especially in New Jersey. I mean, some of these, if you have 20 acres of land, absolutely.
So what about the ones that I saw today on the street? The poor little
you can't just roll up and bang them out. Who would want to do that?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, what if somebody was from his window? Like, oh, yeah, okay, he just crossed the property. Boom.
Yeah.
Bow and arrow, get him.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people who.
And you take it to the butcher?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to
drag it. You've hunted before?
No. I've fished quite a bit.
Okay.
I have never hunted. And one of my good buddies in town, I actually coach his son, he hunts a lot. And I'd love to, in baseball, I'd love to do it with them. Like, there's an appeal. Now, I don't know at the end of the day if I've got it in me to kill.
Dude, come on.
I know. I'd probably more no than yes. But I would love to sit in a tree stand, have a little flask. And no,
you
honestly,
put the
I'm
flask. I know. The snow shoveling.
I love that
flask with the snow.
No, not to get sloshed. Put a little Irish coffee. Throw a little whiskey in the coffee. Be out there when the sun is rising. You know, to be amongst nature. I love that, which is why I love to fish.
You think A-Rod's a hunter?
No. Well, I mean.
No. I'm talking about deer.
No.
Or whatever. I was saying, because, like, well, I mean, he owns the T-Wolves. I don't know. Maybe out there in Minnesota. Well, I was thinking maybe we'd do, like, a boys trip with A-Rod.
With A-Rod.
We go hunting. I don't know. I was just trying to think about it. I can't.
I don't know if I could do it. And I'm not a big gun guy. I respect the rights and all that stuff. I don't love guns at all. Matter of fact, I'm terrified of guns. And if I had a bow and arrow in my hand, I would miss the target by 1,000 feet.
Bow and arrow. Oh,
yeah,
man.
No, you've got that's real skill.
You know, my experience with hunting always goes back to Sopranos. Remember poor Ralphie's kid? Remember the bow and arrow? Ralphie and his
oh, jeez, I forgot about that episode.
Remember his son's friend?
Yeah.
His son and his friend, they were playing. Yeah, that's a bad one. And then I was thinking.
Yeah, of course, the planes.
Bobby Bacala with the big
outfit. When he comes out and he's got the camouflage on where they're going to try to find Paulie Walnuts and Chris. That might be the best Sopranos episode ever.
That, and then I think of My Cousin Vinny when. You've seen My Cousin.
Of course.
Vinny, where Marissa Tomei's getting on. He's like, oh, I got to go hunting with Trotter.
Trotter's fun. That's a great movie.
Yeah, and that's a great scene, of course, where she goes into maybe killing the deer.
Was that her first movie? Is that the first time we were exposed? Maybe. I'm sure she did something. Like, Jennifer Aniston was in some horror movie, like The Leprechaun. That was. I'm sure that there was something small before My Cousin Vinny, but I don't remember seeing it. That was her first entry into the... Into the field, right?
It was the first one I remember her from. I'm sure she did other stuff, like you said. We tried to get her on like a year ago, but now that we landed Sydney Sweeney, I mean, we should be able to get Marissa Tomei.
I'll take Marissa Tomei over Sydney Sweeney.
Well, me too. I'm just saying, as far as getting her on the show,
it should be a little bit easier. We've established a rapport now.
I would think.
Yeah, I think so.
Sydney Sweeney's one of the most famous people in the world. See, she's been on. She's been all over the place. She's in front page news everywhere.
You come on with BT and Sal, we either incredibly frustrate you or we elevate you to a level that you weren't at before you came on with us.
She's eating hot dogs. She's showing, parts.
I know. They were definitely
nonstop. I'm getting inundated with texts and messages like, oh, your girl's here, your girl's there, like in 3 days.
But a bunch of horn dogs. Like
I know.
I mean, I don't understand. Come on, guys. I mean, I do. But like, you're never going to get with her. You're never going to be, I mean, anybody, whoever's texting you, my buddies, you're never going to be in the same room.
We talked to her on the phone and we got no shit.
That's true. You're never going to be in the same room as she is. You're never going to date her. You're not going to marry her. You're not going to hook up with her. I mean, wipe away the drool. I mean, some guys are so pathetic. I mean, did you ever get anything growing up? Jeez.
BT and Sal, all the fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hoff is out today sick, so Hoff usually does the music. And Rami's like, all right, well, what kind of music you want? I go, well, if it's not going to be themed, Hoff usually does themes sometimes.
Unless he's getting pizza.
Yeah, well, whatever, right. And then just have Dole play whatever's in the bank there. So I told Rami, I go, just play hits. Like, it's not that hard.
Uh-huh.
Like, now driving home sometimes because we get the Cadillac, I get the Sirius XM.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm all about it.
Me too.
80s, yep. 90s, yep. Whatever, 2000, 2010.
A little lithium for me, a little, you know, what else do I like? Some of the classic, like the Rewind. Oh, my God, Yacht Rock. I love it.
You know what song I heard awesome. Last night? I just told Rami to play this because it got me so fired up. Haven't heard it in a while. Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll. Like,
yeah, it's an old one. That's an old one. Sure.
Hits. I just love hits.
Like, all right. I sent you a little hit piece on our guy, Rami, right now. Are you going to take him down?
So I tell Rami, just play hits.
Uh-huh.
And then so far, and I've let the first few go.
Yeah.
And then he plays that song, and I'm like, this is not a hit.
I never heard that song in my life.
Okay, me neither. And that's what I'm talking about.
Because it came out last year, so you guys didn't hear it.
Is it a top 25?
Yes, it was.
Not for us,
I'll look it up.
What's the name of the song? And I like Drake, by the way. Don't make it.
You broke my heart, and plus Toronto, Canada, that whole connection.
Oh,
well, that's different. So the last two songs were Drake. You didn't notice that.
Okay.
But. No,
well, I mean, I know Drake, Rami. I know Drake has a ton of hits. I have not heard one of them so far
you
today.
You didn't hear the last one? The last one was...
Yeah, what's the name of it? Do you even know it?
Yes, Over. And that is a huge hit.
Okay, maybe I was sleeping on that one, sure, but... Anyway, all right, so there's not just hits. It's a Toronto Drake theme. All right, fair enough.
Hey, at least one thing that you should appreciate with me by now, I don't try to front on the music. I am stuck, I've said this to me, I am stuck in my little antiquated bubble. And in terms of rap, anything post-90s, Dre and Snoop and Eminem, don't care. In terms of the heavy metal, you know where it starts, the rock, the Leopards, and some of the 70s stuff like Led Zepp, and even some corny disco stuff from the 70s, Donna Summer, whatever. Yeah, Pearl Jam, but if it's in the last 15, 20 years, I've got zero interest.
You know what I have a problem with? How is it that Drake, as a sports fan, is going to have something that we haven't had in years? He's seen the Raptors win a title not too long ago.
Yeah.
He's on the verge of seeing the Blue Jays win a title yet again.
Uh-huh.
Yankees haven't won since 09. Knicks haven't won since 73. Mets haven't won since 86. Here's Drizzy Drake bursting onto the scene. People looked at him as a jinx, and now all of a sudden, he's going to see at least an NBA title and a baseball World Series championship.
He's got it pretty good. I guess the question is how many of our musical luminaries grow up here but then leave? Like, I don't know, is LL Cool J out west or is he here? I don't know.
Point. Yeah.
Where's Jay-Z? I know he's got places everywhere in the world, the Hamptons, you know, domestically, worldwide. Is he here?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. And if they bounce, well, then maybe they take some luck with
them. But are they even big sports fans? Like, I don't see LL pulling up to...
LL Cool J's a massive sports fan.
Is he going to Johnny's games?
Yes, he did go last year.
Last year he was there?
He went last year. He did.
Is he baseball? Where is he at? I know he's worn Yankee hats.
I thought he was a Met fan back in the day.
He probably, because the Mets are good.
Mets
and now the Yankees are good.
Yeah, it's probably Run DMC pulling the same stuff, too. I think he's made the transition to the Yankees. The Yankee, I haven't seen him wear a Met hat in a long time.
But I haven't seen him at a, and I like his music a lot.
Oh, LL's the man.
I haven't seen him, even his more recent stuff, not recent stuff, like in 2000 I'm talking about, as opposed to the 80s.
25 years ago,
even
recent stuff.
Yeah,
let's go back to the Milky, cereal baby, Milky.
Well, that, of course, I remember that.
Old throwback stuff.
I haven't seen him at a Knick game or whatever in a long time, though.
Round the Way Girl.
Drake is great. At least, you know, Drake, people were mocking him on social media for being a jinx.
I know. know.
Who the hell knows who he roots for in football?
They're probably good. The Argonauts. They probably win the CFL championship every year. Or the Bills, maybe.
The Bills. All right. BT and Sal on the Fan. Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Dominic is in Warwick. What's up, Dom?
Hey, how are you guys? Love the show. It's great.
Thank you.
Originally, I wanted to chime in about Otani, but that ship has sailed. Huge Cubs fan. And you know what? I don't want Tucker back. I would take Belly over Tucker a million times.
He's not a better hitter than Tucker, but there's more value. I can understand that. And he's going to be $200 million less, probably more. You can spread that out a little bit.
I've been watching for years, saw them both. I would take Belly over Tucker anytime.
Yeah, I mean, Tucker did have a down year, though, because he was banged up. And thank you for the call, Dominic. I mean, the thought of that going into last year would have been ridiculous.
Yes.
And now just one season later, I don't think it could flip that significantly. To me, it is about the value. Not that I'm trying to be cheap, but there's always going to be some kind of cost versus results back. Like, you got to look
at the limitations for the Yankees and everybody, really, at some point.
But there shouldn't be limitations. It should just be where you're, like, did the Yankees really need both Tucker and Bellinger? And the way to do that would be, okay, well, you'd have to then move on from certain pieces. Let's say,
such as, I'm all ears.
Well, let's say you trade Giancarlo for starters. Let's say you trade Spencer Jones and or Dominguez in a package for school. But, like,
bye-bye.
There is a thought.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can. Now, you're going to be adding money with Bellinger, whatever it is for him, bring in Tucker. Like, you could have an outfield of Bellinger, Tucker, and Judge and trade a lot of those young guys who are underperforming and go get Tarik Skubal.
Oh, my God. That's never going to happen. It will be amazing. Or you can put Bellinger at first base. Bye-bye, Goldie, obviously. Okay. No disrespect. And if you think that Jones is more equipped to play next year than Dominguez, I'll let them figure that
whatever,
out.
Whatever, one of those.
Right field, Aaron Judge. Left field, Kyle Tucker. Center field, either Jones, who I've been told is a better defensive center fielder than Dominguez.
Jones, you're saying?
Jones, thank you. So than Dominguez. Yeah. There's other ways to do it. I mean, they've got to get busy this offseason.
Well, here's the thing. We talk about the Mets' need for center fielder. If the Yankees don't bring back Bellinger, who's going to be their center fielder?
I have no idea.
Okay, but
it could be Grisham. I mean, imagine if you lose Bellinger and you just bring back Grisham. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, they're not going to bring him back on a big.
No, but listen, I know he is very respected in that clubhouse.
Yeah. He had a great year. He's a great Yankee for a year.
It's also the first really, really, really good year he's had in his career.
Right.
And he's 28, 29, and he had a bunch of years where he hit 160, 170, 180. Can't hit lefties. Couldn't make contact in the postseason. I enjoyed Grisham this year, and I appreciate what he did for the Yankees. I am fully ready to move on.
But that's
100%.
That's why, to me, it's got to be Bellinger, and I think you're almost wasting Bellinger. Not that I don't like his flexibility at first base. He's got to be the center fielder. You need a center fielder. He can play center field. He was a great Yankee. Like, Bellinger, to me, should be the guy. He's the best option, period, for anybody that needs a center fielder. It just so happens the Mets and Yankees both need a center fielder. Bellinger's the best option.
There's no doubt.
And then Grisham might, in fact, be the second best option as far as the free agent market.
Defensively in the free agency, yeah. I've got something that I think I know you're going to love.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Robbie, why don't you open up the mic and let us know what's going on.
So you guys were talking about number one, and trending number one right now on Yahoo.com is you guys.
Why?
So the headline is, Sydney Sweeney suffered concussion while filming Christie fight sequences.
And here we go.
A picture from last night, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has the clip that we posted from the WFAN account. And it talks about how...
Does it mention us?
I have to read the article.
I mean, I hope we get at least a name mentioned. Is there a picture of us?
Well, there's the video embedded in the article with BT's face on it.
It took a few days.
Face?
Your face.
Nice.
Well, because he started it, right? Are we both in that or no?
I think the clip started with you.
Am I in there as well?
I'll watch the clip real quick.
Not that we care about those things. Not that we're vain, but make sure you find out if I'm in there as well.
And by the way, speaking of number one, that song that I played, number one for 19 weeks.
Yeah, that means nothing. I'm more concerned with us.
In 2023.
I should have specified, BT. When I said hits, I meant like real hits, not like 2025 hits. I'm talking about
old-time hits.
Yeah, that everybody knows. Like, in 10 years from now, people be like, oh, yeah, remember when that Drake song? Yeah, to be a hit, you've got to be around for, we're talking about 30, 40 years.
You got to be able to prove it in multiple decades. You got to be able to stand up. Now I got a question. Let's get back to us here because that's more important. So, I feel like trending on Yahoo would have been an amazing thing in 1999.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I'll check out Yahoo Finance a little bit. There's a few journalistic pieces I'll come across here and there. I don't look at Yahoo at all outside of that. Right, so are we trending on X? Yeah. Are we trending on? I want to trend on some stuff that matters in 2025.
No, Yahoo does matter. It's still a big site.
So a caller alerted me to this, and it says, quote, the host asked, and then for later in the article, the host then asked. So no name.
It does say WFAN. That's
it
all that matters.
It says WFAN a couple times, yes.
We don't care about that as much.
Sydney Sweeney opens up about getting concussed, filming a fight scene, blah, 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 blah.
We care about us.
The 28-year-old actress revealed in an exclusive.
nice exclusive.
The 28-year-old actress revealed in an exclusive radio interview with WFAN Sports Radio that she took and threw real punches during the fight sequences, and then the clip is up there.
Sal is not in the video.
Not even my voice?
No, because it goes from BT's question
to her answer.
Pictures of her over her answer, yeah.
Now, right. You know who's got to be... Now, he's on a deathbed, so I'm sure, but he's probably...
Yeah, this is a Hoff home.
Hoff has to be in his glory when he figures this out.
This is what he did it for. This is why he did it.
Maybe this is why he's offered to.
This is great. Yeah. This is really good. There you go.
That is...
You got to ask good questions. That's the moral of the story.
I was hoping she'd accidentally call back the number.
Yeah, I know.
They could have taken the time, BT. They did sell you short a little bit. The host asked... It's one thing to get in the ring and throw punches, blah, 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 whatever. So they're just transcribing what you said right there.
Could have used that pop, too.
Yeah, and then they also confused us because then it said the host taken aback by the euphoria, alum's confession reiterated, you had a concussion, Sydney?
And that was you.
All right. I was going to say, didn't I say that? I could have been like, what? Anyway.
Do the tag team like we always do.
Job well done. And that's the point. You want to get the name of the fan out there. Sydney Sweeney, exclusive interview with WFAN.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
I would like to know, though, and we don't need to belabor this. Maybe, Rami, you could figure this out. Are we number one on Twitter? Like, why is it just Yahoo? I don't get that.
Because they posted the article there.
Correction. That question, your follow-up is in it with your face.
Okay, that's what I thought, because I did see the clip, and it was both, I was checking the clip to make sure I was in there.
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty. Yes. I'd do the same thing.
Come on, dude.
I would have done the same thing.
Now, would I have been upset if it weren't?
No. Maybe not. A little jealous, but not upset.
100%. crap. Oh, it happens. At least we got around, and you're right. Ultimately, forget you or I, the winner here is Hoff.
Yes, he is.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Get back to your calls on the other side.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.